This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got 58 degrees right now. Looks like things are going to be good for the game this afternoon. Keeping an eye on that for you as well.
Yeah, certainly hope to get that one in. The Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by Menards. Let's kick things off with an update on Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco, Wall Street is really waiting today, accelerating just enough to send the averages to new records, just barely, but not really sure about the whole deal. Right now, the Dow is up 19 points to 22,849. If it closes in positive territory, that's a new record. The NASDAQ and S&P, it's a little more dicey. The NASDAQ is up 6 points, about 3 points above its record level. The S&P, well, it's up 2 points, and it's up only a fraction above its record level. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down about a tenth of a percent. Sears Holdings shares leading the way lower, and as you heard, Sears Canada, not directly related to Sears, is asking court approval to close up shop completely. Investors, though, are taking the Canadian firm's move to close completely as a warning for the U.S. chain. Wall Street is waiting for this afternoon's release of the minutes of the September Federal Reserve policy meeting to hear what officials had to say about raising interest rates. And bank shares are backing down before some of the biggest banks post earnings reports tomorrow. J.P. Morgan Chase and Citibank. J.P. Morgan might have seen business hit by the big hurricanes. Analysts from Barclays say the bank does consumer business in Miami and Houston. Back to you, Chris and Cisco.
Thanks, Joan. On today's Noon Business Hour, the Dow is at a record high. Wall Street's waiting for the Fed minutes from the last meeting. And new features in Wrigleyville since last season. We're going to talk about those.
Personal Finance Wednesday. What to do if you find yourself with a financial windfall, even as much as just $1,000? What's the best way to handle that money? And Amazon has a new deal for children. It's going to allow them to use mom and dad's account to buy things. We'll tell you all about that.
It's brilliant. It's a brilliant
move. It really
move.
Is brilliant. At first, it sounds scary, but it really is brilliant.
It's because you have young kids.
That's right. I'm very afraid.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Questions are being raised about the actual benefits that could come from the Trump administration's proposed tax cut plan for businesses and individuals. Let's get the perspective of Peter Morici, professor at the University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business and former chief economist at U.S. International Trade Commission in Maryland. Peter, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour.
Good morning. Good afternoon, I mean. Nice to be with you.
Nice to have you with us. So what is your take on the tax plan?
Well, there'll be some benefits, but they're not going to be what the administration boasts. And it's going to increase the deficit, but not what the liberal think tanks say. By my estimates, it'll increase the deficit by about half of the amount of the tax cut. And the tax cut will be about $150 billion a year. So this is going to add about $75 billion to the deficit. There'll be some growth from it, but there won't be the kind of growth that Secretary Mnuchin and the chief economist Hassett are claiming. No economist can come up with numbers like that if they're not working for the administration. Likewise, these numbers you're seeing from people like the Tax Policy Center, which, by the way, is run by a former Obama administration official, are just ludicrous. In fact, they issued their report just about the time the proposal was being tabled. I mean, they didn't even have the details, and they had a report showing a terrible revenue loss. In reality, so much is yet to be specified that we don't really know how it's going to shake out for each particular group.
Peter, what would you advise them if they asked you for input? What would you advise them to do?
Oh, I would have gone in a very different direction. I would have basically gotten rid of everything in sight in terms of exemptions and deductions. So there were losers all over the place and winners all over the place. But I would have also gone with border tax adjustments, as Chairman Brady of the Ways and Means Committee suggested, and that would have raised $100 billion, which would have permitted me to then to lower taxes for everybody And so we wouldn't have so many losers. And in that, there might be the context for a deal. But, you know, this deal still preserves, you know, so many special benefits and arrangements that it's, we're back to the old horse trading. This will simplify taxes for ordinary people because of the doubling of the standard deduction means so many more people will be able to file the short form. But it doesn't simplify the tax code. It just moves it around some more. From a business point of view, it's the same complex beast. It would make American corporations and small businesses more competitive. They do pay more taxes than Europeans do. That is a fact. That is not something that's made up. That's a fact. That's something that's verified by European Union computations, by tax experts in Canada, not just the United States. And so it would make them more competitive. That's a good thing, and that's where you'd get your growth.
So, Peter, why some of these things that you're talking about that seem to make sense, why aren't they happening? Is it just political realities? I mean, why can't they get some of those done?
Political realities are lobbying. One of the things that Reagan tried to do when he had his big tax cut was just clear everything out. We're going to have no exemptions and deductions. It turned out some were preserved, most were not. Okay? But when you just start cherry-picking, then people start lobbying. Also, I mean, let's face it, there's nothing this president could propose, could come up with a formula for turning lead into gold so that we could magically eliminate the deficit and give everybody zero taxes. And Schumer would be crying that it's witchcraft and that he should be burned at the stake. I mean, there's nothing this president can do that the Democrats aren't going to criticize even before it's proposed. It was like some senators said they were going to vote against the Supreme Court nominee even before he named one. Likewise, on the other side, you've got people like the Koch brothers who are just frankly selfish. They're just frankly selfish. The border tax adjustment thing would require some adjustments on their part. Walmart, not even that. They're just selfish. And yet, you know, they use their lobbying power and their clout to keep the Brady program, the Brady plan, from getting real consideration. That was the most sensible plan the Republicans had, and basically Mnuchin and Gary Cohn from the administration killed it because of pressure from the Koch brothers and from Walmart. So, I mean, there's plenty of sin on both sides. That is why it is so difficult to get tax reform. Now, when you have a president as polarizing as Donald Trump, forget about his politics, his manner and demeanor, it's very hard to get anything done. I mean, the first thing I would do, you say, what would you do, Peter? The first thing I would do is I would put his Twitter account in a blind trust. That's the first thing I would do. Because I can't have him going off, you know, upsetting Republican senators when he needs them. I mean, I don't tell my, you know, sometimes I've had deans over the years that have behaved like jackasses. And I've never told them that. But I need their cooperation. Well, guess what? For president, the senators are his deans.
But it's so so entertaining, though, Peter. We always love having you on. Sorry, we're up against the clock, Peter, but we will have you on again soon. You can find Peter on Twitter. You don't want your
other countries.
Now, Peter, you don't want your Twitter in a blind trust, right? Before I give that out here.
You can put it out. I don't say ridiculous things on Twitter. It's
yeah.
P. Maurici 1.
Yeah, at P. Maurici 1. That's how you track him down.
M-O-R-I-C-I.
Yep, M-O-R-I-C-I. At P. Maurici 1 is how you find him on Twitter. Up against the clock, Peter. We will have you again soon. Professor at the University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business joining us here. Coming up next, the changing face of Wrigleyville.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Fans who are traveling to Wrigley Field this season may not recognize the neighborhood as changes come not only to the inside of the ballpark, but also the surrounding area. Let's get the latest from Danny Ecker, commercial real estate reporter at Crane's Chicago Business. Danny, it is really striking when you see some of the pictures outside the ballpark. You have fans watching the game in a park. You have other larger buildings coming up. It really is kind of a remodel of Wrigleyville.
Oh, it's entirely different. I mean, someone who is walking around now, I mean, wouldn't recognize it from what it was maybe 3 years ago. So it's an entirely different experience, and it's also becoming more lucrative for the Cubs ownership.
And is that what this is all about? This is about sort of making money maybe year-round for the team?
Yeah, you know, this is, and it's a trend that goes beyond Wrigley, although Wrigley is a perfect example of it. you know, sports arenas and stadiums really across the country are turning into or trying to be turned into these miniature entertainment districts, you know, real estate developments that have all kinds of attractions that, you know, make them, you know, allow, you know, because create revenue for the teams and the team owners year round. I mean, now you're just looking at Wrigley alone. You've got, you know, the Hotel Zachary, which the Cubs ownership owns. It's a 175-room hotel that's going to open next in the spring across the street. You obviously have the new plaza next to Wrigley. That's totally changed the landscape there. A new Cubs office building with a massive bar. And then, of course, even the non, you know, the properties that are not owned by the Ricketts family, you have this massive mixed-use development going up south of Wrigley, which will, when it's done, have a bowling alley and a Shake Shack and a Harley Davidson shop. I mean, it's becoming a lot more corporate, and it's becoming just a lot more developed than it was.
It's also a new gathering system for people to watch music concerts and videos and to watch the Cubs on a big screen.
Oh, for sure. It's a, you know, it's a different experience, and obviously they, you know, they have the chance to have watch parties when the team was on the road. They did, and it's, you know, this is a way that the Ricketts family can find all sorts of new revenue. And what's important for them is that a lot of the, you know, they're finding ways to monetize the stadium and the area around the stadium in ways that is not subject to Major League Baseball's revenue sharing rules, which is, you know, things like concession sales and ticket sales that the team gets just through the Cubs. That sort of can go in and split among the among all MLB owners, whereas stuff that happens outside the stadium and other events, concerts they're doing, that stuff is all in a different line of business by the Cubs ownership. And it's, again, it's a way to monetize this massive asset in ways that it wasn't done before.
Are the White Sox also trying to put together something like this?
Well, you know, the White Sox have tried to develop a bit more of an entertainment center around the stadium there on the south side. It really, I mean, think about the Bacardi at the Park development, and the, you know, they have the Chicago Sports Depot retail site they have next door to the building. I mean, that was kind of the idea there, was get people to show up earlier, stay later. But unfortunately, it's still, you know, for the most part, in a sea of parking lots, and you don't have, I mean, Wrigley is certainly unique in its being in a neighborhood, but you know, you haven't seen the same kind of development around you know, around Guaranteed Rate Field, formerly USO Field, you know, that you have up at Wrigley or many other arenas and stadiums, partly because of sort of the, you got the highway there and you got the railroad, and just hasn't really flowed that much, and it's also just doesn't have as many of the momentum factors that at Lakeview and Wrigleyville have.
Danny Ecker, commercial real estate reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Always appreciate you being with us, Danny. Up next, we'll get the latest numbers from Wall Street and Bloomberg.
WBBM News Time 12:25. Let's check the market. Sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialist. And here's Joan Doniger.
Chris, a Wall Street tug of war, pitting tech and consumer staple stocks against financials, but investors' hearts really aren't in it. The Dow is up 12 points. The NASDAQ is up 5. The S&P barely up a point. All three averages trading at or near record levels. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is down slightly, dragged by Sears Holdings shares. Investors getting a scare from Sears Canada's decision to shut down operations completely. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities and Normal. Pete?
And we've had mixed back and forth prices here today. Corn has been up 1 3/4 to down 3.5 at the moment. December down 2.25 at 347. Beans have been up 2 to down 2 at the moment, unchanged. 966, and wheat's been down 5 to up 1/4. We're down 3/4 in December at 434.5. USDA reported 11 tomorrow, being waited for to see what they do with stocks and yields. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. The Dow up 12 points with business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. And these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
The sauce of choice of a character on an adult cartoon spurs a big move by McDonald's.
Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour. The smartest things that you could do with a reap of a financial windfall.
Amazon wants to make it easier for teenagers to shop online with some parental oversight.
Cook County Board votes to repeal the hotly debated beverage tax.
Business, the Dow is up 12. NASDAQ is up 4. The S&P is up 1 point.
58 degrees right now, a high today of 62.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by Carson's. We mentioned just a moment ago the Cook County Board has voted to repeal that beverage tax. Let's get all the latest now live from the anchor desk with WBBM's Jim Gudas.
Cisco and Chris, that happened just moments ago. The big question now is what's next for Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkle? She's going to let us know after the board meeting, but they have a lot of business to get through, so it'll be a while. And one big question is how she plans to react. Will she veto? Most unlikely, considering the margin of victory was 12 votes, more than enough to override a veto. And the question is, how is she going to approach the $200 million that she says the sweetened beverage tax was needed to raise to close gaps in the county budget? Live at the anchor desk, Jim Gudas, News Radio on 105.9 FM.
Well, we have a case of life mirroring art. The series Rick and Morty on the Cartoon Network's Adult Swim is having an impact on McDonald's involving Szechuan sauce. Let's get an explanation from Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles. What's going on here, Phil?
Well, Chris, can you remember the last time we had this much passion and emotion about McDonald's? I mean, they just keep on making announcement after announcement, and basically people go, ho-hum. What they did was brilliant. What they did was a limited edition of Szechuan sauce that got Rick and Morty fans waiting in line and angry that they ran out. This is a brilliant marketing move for McDonald's, and maybe it signals their future. Forget about the vegan burger. Forget about all these things that they keep on trying. Maybe that what they need to do is do what they used to do so well and really align with pop culture.
The Szechuan sauce was something that they served years ago in a limited edition. So McDonald's was behind this revival?
Absolutely. And I don't care what they might say or what the TV show might say and so on, but this is a well-orchestrated PR campaign that really is brilliant and really gives me a lot of reason to think that McDonald's is back on track.
And it moves beyond, I mean, I don't know how much coordination there was here, but I wonder if it gives people some ideas. We often hear about product placement. Hey, put your can of soda in a particular TV show or something. But it almost goes a step further where you actually drive fans very specifically to take in a product.
It does, Cisco. And the problem with product placement is people learned early on that people are paying for that. There really wasn't some kind of natural symbiotic relationship between the product. This has that. This is real. And in the age of social media, this is what we want to see, where people are posting themselves online, waiting for it, you know, demanding that there's more sauce. You know, the company, McDonald's, you know, who really we wondered if they've lost their way, might really figure out that social media and these kinds of events tying in with Comic-Con and so on is the way to get people to get back in store and really want the product.
Yeah, sure is fascinating, Phil. Thank you for joining us. As always, Phil Lempert, founder, SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles.
And for what it's worth, McDonald's shares are up a couple of dollars today. Mike Larson is senior analyst at WeissRatings.com in Jupiter, Florida. And let's talk about the markets overall. Kind of quiet today, Mike.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We have this market that's really, in the last month or two, has seen a big shift in terms of which sectors are leading and what that says about sort of the optimism for growth and the market gains going forward. I was pulling some figures on how different sectors of the market have done in the last month, and microcaps, some of the ETFs that track microcaps, the very smallest stocks out there, are up 8-9% in the last month, whereas small caps are up about 6.5-7%, and the S&P 500 is up about 3%. So what you're seeing is a return to the trend that we had right after the 2016 election, where small cap stocks were outperforming and growthier sectors, things like financials, industrials, materials, and so on, we're doing better than your traditional defensive plays like utilities and consumer staples. That's a good sign overall for this market. It means investors are optimistic about the outlook for U.S. growth going forward, and definitely what I'd like to see if we're expecting more gains through year end.
We're expecting to see the Fed notes. Mike, how could that move the market?
You know, I think the Fed, people are kind of comfortable with the idea that the Fed's going to be out there raising rates occasionally. You know, every few months, they'll probably throw out another 25 basis point hike or something. And it's, you know, they know that the Fed's not going to really try and go out of its way to shock the markets. They're not too concerned at this point because, again, with growth picking up, with commodities strong, and with some of the sector breakdown going on, it does speak to an environment that I think can handle higher interest rates as long as they don't rise. I kind of have this rule I call my 3F rule. As long as rates don't rise far enough, fast enough, or for long enough, it doesn't have to be something that holds the market back. And really, that's the case right now. They've only risen somewhat, and they're only rising at a reasonable pace.
Great insight, Mike. Appreciate you joining us. Mike Larson, Senior Analyst, WeissRatings.com. Up next, Personal Finance Wednesday, what you should do with money if you get some through an unexpected windfall.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour. Today we're discussing what you should do if a financial windfall comes your way, maybe even, say, $1,000. Kelly Long, financial planner with financialfinesse.com here in Chicago. Okay, so let's say someone gets $1,000, however it happens, an inheritance or whatever. What should they do with that? What are some really wise financial moves to make with that money?
Well, the first thing would be just making sure you have the three tenets of financial, your foundation in place. So if you've got high interest rate debt, that's probably the best way to make it work for you. Not as much fun, but can really relieve you of some high payments and paying less interest over time. If you're credit card debt free, then I would use it to bulk up your emergency fund. So $1,000 is a great way to start an emergency fund if you've got nothing. And then the third one would be, you know, maybe add it to retirement. But there's some other ideas if you've kind of got those boxes checked that you might not think about besides just going out and, you know, buying yourself a great pair of boots or a new couch or something.
Yeah, because those things are important. But as you touch on, they don't sound very fun. Pay off debt, get an emergency fund, sock it into a retirement account. What if you want those boots?
The key is, if you really want to, buying the new boots aren't going to change your life. So if you want to take that $1,000 and really maybe have it change your life beyond, you know, establishing that firm foundation, maybe try something like buying a subscription to a meal delivery service so you can eat healthy for a couple of months. And that could really help you lose some weight and spark some lifestyle changes that could have ripple effects for years to come. Or hire a personal trainer. Or, you know, I might use it to hire a cleaning lady so I can have my weekends free.
We've been watching the millennials as they have grown up, and it appears to be that they like to have experiences as much or if not more than things.
Very true. So, and beyond just, you know, kind of thinking of the next trip to take, maybe, you know, using it to take music lessons or to learn that skill or hobby that you thought would be really fun. So it's the opportunity to really buy yourself an experience that can have a long-lasting effect. So beyond just, you know, going to Europe, $1,000 probably wouldn't get you to Europe.
There's also giving, which is an option.
Yes, and that could be really fun. Maybe find a place that you would want to volunteer, but then leave at the end of your shift with a nice check in their hand, and that could really also spark something that would last for years to come.
I don't know if it's a good time or not to think about insurance. And if you have that $1,000 sitting there looking at, maybe it's a time to reevaluate that aspect.
Absolutely. So especially for younger families that are just getting started, if you haven't yet bulked up your insurance to cover your family fully, should something happen to you, $1,000 could buy you a really great term policy or could even pay several years worth of term insurance for a pretty decent size policy or maybe disability insurance if you need to bulk that up, or it's maybe a good reminder to reevaluate homeowners and car insurance if you can save some money but also pay up for the full 6 months and then get yourself out of that month-to-month paying extra fees cycle of paying your insurance.
Several good tips. Kelly Long, financial planner with financialfinesse.com here in Chicago. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday. Still to come, Amazon sets its sights on the next generation of shoppers. It's going to let teens do some shopping.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Amazon's latest great idea, doing business with teenage shoppers. Let's get details from Tuna Amobi, who is a media and entertainment analyst at CFRA Research in New York. Tuna, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. This looks like it's going to do a lot of good things for Amazon. And the intent is also to help young people show responsibility with shopping. What's the business model here?
Sure. I think that's exactly right. We view this as kind of a balancing of the convenience as well as the control. So for parents, you know, obviously convenience, you know, to provide another feature that will enable teens and take advantage of the trends out there, and mobile commerce in particular, which has been a major driver of the overall e-commerce space. So this is a feature that I fully expect to be, you know, very popular with parents and teens alike. And in particular, as I said, the parental control is very key to the success.
So they win the approval of mom and dad, and they are helping teenagers shop for things they like. This is a great idea for Amazon.
It is, and it's also a recognition of the influence that, you know, this demographic age group, you know, including the millennials, are wielding, you know, great, you know, influence in terms of billions of dollars of spending power. So this is an attempt by Amazon to, you know, really tap into, you know, that trend. I think it says a lot that they have also linked it to their Prime membership. And this should really provide another catalyst, you know, ahead of this holiday shopping season. And looking ahead to next year when the fourth annual Prime Day in July, I think this is one of those features that we expect will be, you know, one of the catalysts.
Companies always looking to form habits, too. So if you get teenagers that begin shopping on Amazon from a young age, they're obviously expecting them to continue that.
That's a great point. And I would also point out that, you know, Amazon also, you know, launched a month-to-month, you know, membership, Prime membership feature for college students as opposed to the annual subscriptions. To your point, you know, trying to get these young consumers hooked in early to the brand so that they can continue those habits, you know, when they grow out of, you know, into adulthood.
Great to talk with you, Tuna. Tuna Amobi, media and entertainment analyst at CFRA Research in New York. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast available shortly at cbschicago.com/audio and the all-new radio.com app.
WBBM News Time at 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets and other business news. Here is Joan Doniger.
Chris, investors are holding their breath for the release of the minutes of the September Federal Reserve policy meeting that will take place in just a few minutes. And while they do that, they have all three averages at or near record levels. The Dow is up 10 points, the Nasdaq 6, the S&P 1. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is falling nearly 0.2%. Sears shares are sliding 6.5% to lead the losses. There are sanctions that bar U.S.-based companies from doing business with firms in Russia and Crimea. Reuters reports state organizations and companies in both places, though, have managed to get software produced by Microsoft. The products were all sold by third parties. You will still be able to buy Coach bags, but its parent company is changing the name at the end of the month. Think Tronc here. Coach will become Tapestry. It's an effort to emphasize a house of brands now that Coach also owns Kate Spade and Stuart Weitzman. And Arby's says it has the meats. It seems it has all of them. USA Today says Arby's will release its venison sandwich nationwide in about a week and test a limited edition elk sandwich in three western states. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.